Welcome to the Natural Radio Show, where beautiful women worldwide come together in peace, harmony, and respect. Natural Radio Show is a platform for holistic and sufficient discussions centered on uplifting and empowering women worldwide on the Natural Radio Show. This is your host, Indira Mendez, on the Natural Radio Show, and today's date is June 13th, 2020, on a Saturday evening, and tonight's topic is going to be about effective communication, part one, and it's inspired by a book called 10 Skills for Effective Business Communication, written by Jessica Huygens and forwarded by Benway. So I will be reading a selection from this book specifically, just to highlight some things and go over some important factors when it comes down to effective communication. So, without further ado, how many of us have heard the saying, there's a difference between listening and hearing someone out? I'm pretty sure we've heard this statement before and understand its meaning. So this broadcast, once again, is going to be centered on keeping an open mind when it comes down to effective communication. So, how do we keep and maintain an open mind? Easily. So I'm just going to go over reading selection. And I just want all my listeners to just pay attention to it, what I'm saying, very carefully, and just follow along with me. Okay. What every bad communicator knows is that it doesn't matter how great your ideas, how perfectly eloquent your wording, or how polished your execution and delivery. If the person on the receiving end doesn't actually listen or doesn't care about what you're saying, you're finished. This is the tricky part about communication. Being a great communicator isn't about you at all. It's about them, the recipient of the message. Attention is a currency. That is by Brian Solis. You can't expect people to tune in automatically because your mouth opens. In fact, we have to get people to want to tune in to us. So, you must master the art of 1. Open listening, of influential listening, and of capturing message you can then use to make your communication resonate. And as we further go along, you have to open your brain and keep it open. Okay, so our brains and our technologies are hardwired to work against us when it comes to listening. First, you have your heuristic brain patterns, constantly seeking shortcuts to better understand information so that you can tune out and move on. You also have the brain networks that control your judgment. This area refuses to accept novel information, ideas, and people that don't fit comfortably in your current mental models. Add to that technology constantly pinging away at your attention span. Open listening comes from an open, focused mind. Clearly, you have a lot stacked against you. But don't worry, we are going to heighten your senses of awareness and practice self-restraint. Truly listening to someone has become outmoded. This is a very good thing. Becoming a great listener is your surefire way to stand out. gain attention, and significantly increase your likelihood of crafting communications that resonate with the person you are speaking with. The best way to learn how to listen is by learning how to avoid not listening. Since listening itself is fairly straightforward, following are the three main enemies to good listening. Shutting them off is your key to success. When you begin falling into one of these three traps, slap your brain out of it. After all, it's not in control here. You are. So those three communication factors that are considered a don't when it comes off to communication. That is, don't formulate a response ever. Avoid sentence grabbing and sentence cutting. Number three, shut down your brain biases, judgment, and conclusions. So how can we become an effective listener? Through identification. So that means to suspend all your belief. So tonight, this is what effective communication is going to be about. Part one, we're going to be focused on the don'ts of communication. So we're going to elaborate more on those three things and the fourth as a solution to combat ineffective communication. So I want to begin off by saying don't formulate a response ever. And what that basically means, which was also written in a book, is that sometimes when people are having a conversation, they don't really take the time out to listen to what's being said to them or acknowledge the person's stance in what they are communicating to them. So usually, more or less, they are inside of their head and thinking about the thoughts and the things that they're going to say before they even assess what's being said to them. So one of the things to actually do or practice is less talking and do more effective listening. Okay, so when you do that, that allows effective communication to come in, because now you are the receiver and giver on both ends. It's being reciprocated in a even tone, an even way, when you allow the person to speak and then you wait until they're finished and then you interject and say what it is that you need to say. And usually most times it's good to show that, you know, reiterate what the person has said to show that you are listening. That's a respectable technique to actually do. Now, another factor would be to avoid interrupting a conversation. I know sometimes when people are in debates or having a very, very passionate conversation, that it's so tempting to want to interrupt the other person to get your thoughts out, because maybe, possibly, you think that you might forget what you're going to say, so you want to hurry up and rush and get it out, you know, right away while this person is talking. But that's not a good and effective way of communicating. Usually, sometimes, even if it's something that's burning inside of you and you really want to get it off your chest, sometimes it's good to keep a notepad and a pen next to you and write down what it is that they said or what it is that that you want to explain or communicate to them as a result of what they're sharing with you. So it's one part, whereas you're listening to something that they're saying and you're triggered by something, whereas you're passionate about responding back because you want to give your opinion, you want to give your view on what they are saying. So good pointers are to keep a notepad and a pen close to you if you feel that it's becoming a deep and well-rounded conversation that you're having with the person. Okay? So another factor would be to really just get the person, allow the person to get everything out before you actually interject your way of communicating or your thoughts or your ideas on something. Okay, so another factor would be to quit thinking about your response before grasping the detail of the conversation, as I said before. Okay, because when you interrupt the conversation prematurely, you allow yourself to not get the full grasp of what type of information they're sharing with you in its full vastity. So sometimes you need to let a person talk completely, let them get everything out to get the whole big picture and not part of a picture. Because guess what? When you are communicating with someone and you interrupt them midway, you don't get all of the details, you get part of the details. And then here it is, you start to interject your opinion and ideas off of a partial detail or information that was given to you. And that's not really good. You know, that's not effective communication, because here it is, you're speaking on something in partiality and you're not really talking or discussing anything in its whole entirety of the dynamic of the conversation. Okay, so last thing is avoid inattentiveness in the conversation. It is disrespectful and not polite. And when I say avoid inattentiveness, what I mean by that is that, you know, somebody could be communicating with someone and they just zone out and their mind just goes somewhere else. I mean, somewhere other than where the person is present while the person is communicating. That is so disrespectful, because you're not really listening to what the person is saying. You're tuning out. You're tuning this person out and you're not showing no type of interest in what the person is saying. You know, and a lot of times most people do it, whereas they can be giving the person their undivided attention, whereas they looking at the person and like, there's a lot of people that's guilty of it, looking at a person, they only hearing what the person is saying, but they're not really listening. And like I said, as time drifts off or whatever the case might be, their mind drifts off as well, and they no longer engage in the conversation. That is not a good factor, because if you're not interested in the conversation, you might as well tell a person politely, listen, right now, you know, I'm not in a position to have this conversation with you. Maybe another time we can have this conversation and I can be more engaging of this conversation of what you're saying. I don't want you to think that your ideas is insignificant or the information that you share with me is insignificant. It's just that I'm in a position where I'm not able to really fully give you my attention at the time. That is more plausible than actually showing that you're engaged with someone and you're really not engaged in the conversation. You're very inattentive. Okay, now on the contrary of that, when it comes down to men and women, men have more of a good technique at not giving all of their undivided attention, but when it comes down to gathering information, you know, significant information, even though, let's say it's a husband and a wife, he may not be in front of his wife, but she could be talking, she could be saying something, and he's listening very attentively, but he's listening to the details, he's listening to the information that he can gather and what he can do going forward. That's what he does. So that's a very unique and rare gift that I think that men have when it comes down to when they're not really giving the woman a full undivided attention, but they listening to every important fact and detail that the woman is saying when it comes down to communication, you know. So I think this is very unique, because on the opposite side, when that man has to explain something, sometimes he could be a little vague in what he's saying. But when it comes down to the woman explaining something, she'd give every inch of detail about something and basically paint the picture, while the guy will only basically give an outline of the picture, but the woman gives the color and the details of a conversation, and the man is able to grasp that way of communicating and get the details. Now, when it comes down to women, I don't think that we have that skill, because I really feel like we fall prey to having selective listening or hearing, and we grasp certain things that resonate with us rather than getting the whole picture. So I know that I'm guilty of that sometimes, but it takes practice to actually keep your mouth shut and listen to what the person is saying, especially when a guy is communicating with you. It's good to actually listen to hear everything what he's saying. If it's something valuable that he's sharing, especially if it's information, as a woman, you want to be able to pay close attention to what he is saying to you. Okay, so now moving along from don't formulate a response ever, you know, we're going to move along to avoid sentence grabbing and sentence cutting, which is also in the book. Now, before I even move away, if you practice listening more and talking less, you'll be able to learn more, you'll be able to grow more, and you'll be able to be more in control of your response and think about it rather than reacting to what's being said to you. You will be able to respond effectively when you communicate with someone. Okay, so that's the good thing, a benefit about not formulating a response before you actually get the whole big picture of a conversation. Now, avoid sentence grabbing and sentence cutting. What is this all about? So, sentence grabbing is also known as attention grabbing, whereas remarks or activity is intended for people to notice. So let's say, for example, you're having a conversation with someone, you could be having a debate, and let's say you're going back and forth, you're exchanging ideas, you're exchanging thoughts, and in the process of a person talking or whatever the case might be, you immediately, abruptly interrupt them. So that's more or less you taking an idea that they said or something, and it's like a sentence grabber or attention grabber, and you taking away the attention from the person to make noticeable what you're saying. That's not a good technique or effective way of communicating at all, especially when you're talking and you feel as though a person is about to interject themselves, but they about to just respond to what you're saying. But sometimes people could keep going on and 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 on with what they're saying, and they don't really allow the person to get anything in because they just want the person to listen and don't really want to get any feedback. I mean, for that, that's for therapy sessions. That's for if you are dealing with a mentor, you're dealing with someone who you want to talk to, and you're not really looking for advice, you do that. But I don't think it's fair when you're having a conversation with someone and you're talking about a topic and you taking the whole of that conversation and not allowing the person to be able to share some type of thought or idea to what you're saying. So if a person is trying to get something in and, you know, they keep trying to attempt, but they're not really saying anything, and then your pitch of your voice go high because you're trying to prevent them from saying anything, you know, that's not cool. That is not cool. You want to be able to give yourself time to get everything out in a timely manner and give that person the opportunity to share their thoughts and their ideas with what they have to say, and you listen to what they're saying. It shouldn't be a one-sided thing when you're having a well-rounded conversation with someone. Okay, so now moving along to sentence cutting is interrupting the speaker while in the process of speaking. Yes, that's another factor as well too. When whereas you interrupting the person in the process of them talking, as I mentioned before, and the whole conversation begins to turn left when you interrupt the person and they no longer able to give an extended information or detail that could have helped bridge the gap to some gap to something that you didn't understand in its entirety. So it's always good to listen, and listening is good. That's why they said we have two ears and one mouth. So that means we got to listen twice and speak only one time. Wise words. Now, to clear up with the sentence grabbing and attention grabbing, just to clear up everything, it's just like I said, you're taking something that the person said, the idea, and you're making it the root of the conversation rather than giving the time or the person to elaborate more on that idea or information that they shared in detail with you. Okay, so that's the difference between sentence grabbing and sentence cutting as well. So, communicating to express one's feelings or opinion is not good, because that's another way of thinking about what you're gonna say versus you actually listening to what the person's saying. So it's not so much about you expressing your feelings or giving your opinion on a matter. It's about being able to have those feelings and assess your opinion to make sure that it is unbiased, but to assess your feelings and to understand what it is that you're feeling, what's triggering you to feel a type of emotion, where if you feel uneasy, uncomfortable, or upset about a conversation, you want to be able to assess your feelings to be in control of what it is that you're feeling and what you're going to say. Okay, so usually a 9 times out of 10, let's say when someone is upset or angry, usually they say the first thing that comes to their mind that's in relation to the hurt or anger that they feel. And what does that result into? We all know what that result into, right? We all know that result into someone saying something that they don't intend or mean to say. However, I feel like even if the person is shouting or saying something to hurt the other person because they are hurting or angry, I feel like it's something that's deeply rooted in their subconscious and it comes out to the surface, to whereas sometimes it could damage relationships, because what happens is that the person begins to feel that if you can have this type of emotion, if you can have this lack of control with your feelings and the things, the words that come out of your mouth that are hurtful, then at the end of the day, this is how you really feel. Even if it's not an attitude or way that you communicate with people on a daily basis, but just by that one moment of a person, of one fit of that person seeing that side of you, it can just destroy their image of you, destroy the relationship that they have with you. And that's not good. Okay, so one thing I want to keep in mind when avoiding sentence grabbing and sentence cutting is that interrupting someone in a conversation is a sure way to hijack the speaker's moment. And as a result of that, if you practice that all the time, or that's a bad habit that you have, that caused people not to want to be around you. That caused people not to want to have an open mind to wanting to communicate with you, because they feel as though no matter what they say to you, you're going to hijack the conversation and take over it. And you're making it one-sided rather than making it a collective conversation. And it takes practice. It takes practice to not be that way, because you don't want it to affect your social settings and your social interaction with people. Okay, neither do you want to close yourself off to receiving information that could be useful for your knowledge and your education as a person. So one wise word is that you're never too old and you're never too young to learn from an older person, a young person learning from an older person, and from an older person learning from a younger person. Okay? There is no such thing as it being a one-sided thing. You learn from each other. Okay? So now that I spoke about avoid sentence grabbing and sentence cutting, let's start off by learning how to shut down your brain biases, judgment, and conclusions. So this is also in the book that I'm reading. The first thing is to take a conscious effort and mental discipline to avoid biasness, judgment, and conclusions in conversations. See, what happens is that when you have a biased perspective on a subject or objective in a conversation, what happens? as I've been saying before, is that the conversation becomes one-sided, and it shows that the person expressing that they have a very warped mind rather than an open mind, which is centered on my whole broadcast tonight, is to keep an open mind and not a warped mentality. So biased views and biased perspectives can cause an ineffectiveness in communication. So keeping an open mind is trying to jump over the biased perspective or thought that you have and really and truly listen to someone or listen to what they're saying. And even in your biasness, you could probably have had it, you know, since you were, you know, younger, if you are an older person, and you may have had this thought so, you know, grew up with this thought or this way of thinking. And the minute that you hear this person speaking or talking about something, it kind of brings like more insight and thought into what you thought was factual or what you thought was a belief. You know, you begin to disintegrate that biased perspective because you're learning something new and allowing yourself to judge to learn something new. Now, another thing is avoiding judgment. Now, if somebody is explaining something to you or they're sharing something with you, it doesn't make it right to be judgmental when you have in a dialogue with someone and telling them what they should and shouldn't do. 9 times out of 10, a person is just looking for your perspective or your education or knowledge about the matter rather than you telling them that they should do this or they shouldn't do that, or just saying or implying that they are not too bright or that what they've done was stupid or something like that. Those are not good ways of effectively communicating with someone when you can make them feel as though you're being a judgmental person rather than someone with an open mind. Okay, and then being conclusive. Oh man, that's a whammy when it comes down to communication. When a person is so conclusive, like, oh, well, this is A leads to B, so this is C. A plus B equals C. If you have a conclusive mindset and don't have extended mindset to where you can understand that it's not just about A plus B and equal in C. No, there's a whole list of letters in the alphabet. Okay, it's not just centered on the three things of what you know, A plus B and C, that way of thinking. No, you have to extend and challenge your mind to be open to other things, whereas you're allowing your mind to extend, you're allowing your mind to grow and obtain substantial information, knowledge, and education on certain aspects of things when living out your daily life or effectively communicating with someone in particular. Okay, now another factor is when a person is talking. Usually they keep talking. I usually call these people motor mouths, whereas they just sometimes these people just love to hear themselves talk and they really don't want to hear what the other person have to say, you know. So those people are more guilty of hearing what the person's saying but more interested in how they're going to respond to certain things. So sometimes that can happen, but at the end of the day, I've noticed that those types of people are usually unaware and lost in a moment. Or it could be a heat of a debate where they just keep got that motor mouth. They keep going and going and going. Even when a husband and wife are having a dispute about something and the husband felt like he got over the situation already, but here it is. The wife just keep going and going and going like an energized bunny. Whereas, you know, it's a motor mouth. She just keep going and going and going. Just a word of advice for you husbands that are out there. Let me just let you know that if she keeps going on and on and on and on about something, usually 9 times out of 10, it's something that has not been satisfied either in her whatever been communicated or the action or whatever took place. And it's good to just sit her down and be like, you know what? I don't want you to keep going on and on about this thing. What is the issue? And sit her down and get down to the nitty gritty of what it is, because she's not going to stop. She is not going to stop. So if it's something that, you know, she wants you to do and you did it, but she's still going off with the motor mouth and things of that nature, sometimes it could be she's just miserable and sometimes you just got to leave her to herself. But if there's a lingering issue and she just keep going off and just it's just not a happy atmosphere, you want to be able to engage her in a dialogue to understand what it is that's bothering her, what is hurting her. Because at the end of the day, even though she's saying all of these other things to you, it could be something that's hurting her or bothering her inside. It doesn't have to really necessarily deal with you. It could be something else. And by you just sitting down and calming that storm within her and just having that dialogue or communicating with her, you'll be able to dissect what it is that's bothering her and be able to deal with that situation or whatever it is. And maybe you can give her insight on how she can deal with the situation. Okay, so it takes effective communication to do that as well too, you know. And I understand that sometimes for you women that are out there, men cannot assess emotion. They cannot assess an emotional woman who's speaking and talking, especially when there's interference with tone, interference with confusion of thought. He cannot assess the emotional, you know, aspect of a woman and things like that. Sometimes as a woman, you need to deal with your emotions. You know, try to bring the turbulence of your emotions to, you know, an even wave, and then be able to come to your husband and tell him what it is that is actually bothering you, rather than thinking that he's a mind reader, because he's not a mind reader. Okay, he's not a mind reader, although he can probably pick up when something is not right or you're not in a good mood. He can pick those things up, you know, and will immediately want to leave you alone into your own space until you get over it. But if you need him and you want him, you know, to have some type or give some type of insight on whatever it is that's bothering you, you cannot come to that man emotional. Okay, it's okay if you cry, you know, tears come out as you, you know, explaining it. He can understand that because he understands that you are in pain. But all of the tone, the loud crying and the aggressiveness and, you know, talking, showing your frustration and being upset and angry, he's going to block everything out that you're, whatever it is that you're saying. So you want to be able to deal with those emotions, even if you have to tell him, you know, husband, I'm not, you know, in the best of mood right now. You know, maybe we could come back and we can have this conversation later on. I do not want to inflict my emotions, you know, on you or whatever it is that I'm going through. You know, they can understand that because they know, okay, well, at least she's telling me that something is bothering her. She's not just walking around the house slamming things and, you know, thinking that I'm gonna, you know, figure out something, because he's looking at you as a mad woman if you just slamming things and walking around the house all upset and mad. He's not going to understand that. He's not going to get that. He's just going to think that you are an unruly woman that's just walking around and don't really have no control of your emotions or whatever it is. Or you're not, you know, tame enough to articulate yourself in a way where he can exchange a good dialogue with you. So you want to be able to learn who you are as a woman and be able to understand it is not just about you and your emotions when you're communicating with a man. You know, you want to understand and take in consideration how he's going to receive what it is that you're saying, opposed to your emotion. He's not going to understand your emotion. However, he's going to understand what the issue is and then want to be able to resolve whatever the issue is at that point. Okay, so usually 9 times out of 10 is not him being a a-hole because he doesn't want to engage you in a conversation. He's not being an a-hole when he decides to leave you alone and let you figure out what it is that you're going through, your womanhood and things like that, trying to figure out your womanhood. He's not an a-hole for that because he doesn't understand the elements of a woman's emotions to his degree. However, he can relate to pain. He can relate to certain things that could be hurting you when you are able to articulate it in a logical perspective. Okay, so now that's one aspect of how you can, you know, when it comes down to taking a conscious effort and mental discipline to avoid biases and judgment and being conclusive, you want to be able to identify these things or when you're being that way and immediately stop it. Immediately just, you know, just shut down. If you realize that you're being biased or judgmental in a conversation or very conclusive, and you hear yourself in the middle of the conversation, what you could say to that person is just like, you know what, stop midway and be like, you know what, I'm sorry. They're gonna probably look at you like, okay, they had sense enough to, you know, stop and pause, you know. But at the end of the day, when you feel that, the more you are aware of how you're communicating and how these things are coming across, the better you're going to become at effective communication. Okay? Especially when you are unaware and you're just going off with the mouth and, you know, you're not really, you know, listening to what the person is saying or allowing a person to speak. That stop and pause is like stopping twice. And just like, you know what, let me stop myself because I don't want this person to receive this, you know, information or whatever it is that I'm saying, you know, as me coming off biased or judgmental, or rather than that, conclusive. So let me just stop and assess what it is that I'm saying and allow them to speak until I'm able to really completely understand, you know, what it is that I'm feeling, you know, my thoughts and my opinions before, you know, even interjecting my thoughts. You know, it doesn't hurt. So now another thing that was mentioned in the reading selection was, which usually is a challenge between shutting down our brain, is called heuristics. Okay. It is a term used to describe the ongoing process of our brain and thought. It is a shortcut of our brain to jump straight to a conclusion without hearing all of the information. That is by Jessica Higgins. So this is her explanation on what heuristic is. So I just wanted to elaborate that usually with that classification and the brain just in the auto perspective, whereas it just has an auto response rather than listening, it's usually the brain that does the activeness of wanting to respond and not be able to actually listen and things of that nature, because it's usually stimulated by a trigger or a thought or idea that causes a person is tempting to want to react to the situation by, you know, interjecting themselves rather than taking the time out to actually respond to the person in an effective way of communication. Okay, so once again, that is called heuristics. You know, it's a shortcut of the brain to jump straight to a conclusion without hearing all of the information. And a lot of times when people do that as well, they assume. What my mom told me, that people who assume make an ass out of themselves. So why not save yourself the embarrassment and get all of the details rather than, you know, doing a short circuit and just getting partial information. Okay, so now that I talked about the three ineffective ways of communication, and don't do it. This is the don't of communication. Okay? Don't formulate a response ever. Learn to listen more than you talk. Avoid sentence grabbing and sentence cutting. Shut down your brain biases and judgment and conclusions. Okay? So this is how we can keep and maintain an open mind. So the next question is, how can we become an effective listener? Through identification, okay? And you want to be able to suspend your beliefs, Okay, so one factor of that is by when you realize that you are disconnecting or becoming disengaged in a conversation, immediately stop and pause. If you're not able to continue the dialogue or conversation, you need to let the receiver or the giver of the information know that you're not able to prolong the conversation with them. Okay, because you don't want to come off as being disrespectful or, you know, what have you. And it's not good to say, oh, well, I just pretended and acted like I was interested, you know, even though I wasn't. Acting is just as bad as being inattentive in a conversation. So you want to be able to merge in the fact that if you know you don't want to hear what this person is saying or you don't want to listen to this person, be honest. Be honest and authentic and let the person know, you know, if, like I said, if you can't engage the conversation or you cannot, you know, manage that conversation right now, let them know. And if you know that you don't want to speak with them on the conversation, just say, I don't feel comfortable talking about this at the time or moment. And that's it. And you move on to something else. Okay. Another factor is filtering out certain information, confirming your belief. Okay, so if there's certain types of when you're having a dialogue with someone and you realize that is they're saying something that you don't like and you don't agree with, and you realize that, you know, it's some type of fallibility in what they're saying to you, you know, so immediately your mind goes into filter mode to whereas you like, I am not hearing this person, okay, because the certain information that you have gotten, it confirmed your belief, you know, which can also relate to having a biased mindset. Okay, so you might want to be able to say to a person when they are saying something that you don't agree with, say, ask them, can you elaborate more on what you mean? I don't understand what you mean. Can you elaborate more? You'll get more details out of what they're saying rather than a half partial thing of what they're saying or general thing that they're saying to you, you know, opposed to thinking that, oh, okay, well, I knew this person wasn't too bright because they think this way. No, that's not an effective way of communication, regardless if you have a better knowledge of a person or better education of what the person is saying. You want to be able to hear them out in its entirety. Okay, another thing is to work through your biases about a person, idea, or thing before you actually hear them. Work through it, which I've been talking about all along. Okay, another factor would be to identify when you are triggered. Okay, when you are triggered, when you have those distasteful conversations with people and you know that you are getting upset, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, right now is not a good time for me to have this conversation with you. We can talk about this a little later on. It's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Okay, so you want to be able to understand when you are defensive in a conversation or when you become disengaged or you just feel like don't respond at all. Listen, women. Listen, men. The silent treatment is not an effective way of communicating with someone, especially with someone who you love. Silent treatment is not an effective way of communication at all, okay? It just perpetuates the distance and discord when it comes down to communication, because when it comes down to relationships, communication is everything. It's everything. Okay, so even if you're going to take the time away from the person, it's good to communicate to them and say, you know what, I feel that you're not being your best self right now. I'm going to let you, you know, give you some space and time for you to figure out what it is that's bothering you. And then we could come back and, you know, we'd be good again. You know, it's good to communicate that opposed to giving a silent treatment and having this person go through a even more, you know, fit of emotion that could highlight, you know, whatever it is that they're feeling. Like if a person, for example, is feeling rejection and they don't know how to articulate that or communicate that to someone, but they show it through their actions or they tell a person and they're not really showing much of an interest, by you giving them the silent treatment, that's even perpetuating the rejection of what they feel even more and not helping the situation, even though you feel as though they need to work it out for themselves. Okay, so those are my thoughts on how we can become an effective listener by identifying those weak pointers in communicating. So at least the practice will be within your control and your first step to becoming an effective listener. Thank you for listening to Effective Communication Part 1. Tune in next week, Saturday, June 20th, 2020, on the Naturel Radio Show. Thank you.